ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो सेवेंथ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 20। अथोपस्पृश्य सलिलं संदधे तत् समाहितः अजानन् अपि संहारं प्राण कृच्छ्र उपस्थिते। अथोपस्पृश्य सलिलं संदधे तत्समाहितः अजानन ओपि संहारम् प्राणकृच्छ्र उपस्थिते। अथोपस्पृश्य सलिलं संदधे तत्समाहितः अजानन्नोऽपि संहारं प्राणकृच्छ्र उपस्थिते। अथोपस्पृश्य सलिलं संदधे तत्समाहितः अजानन्नपि संहारं प्राणकृच्छ्र उपस्थिते। अथ दस उपस्पृश्य टचिंग इन सैंक्टिटी सलिलं वाटर संदधे चैंटेड द हिम्स thought that samahitah, being in concentration, ajanan, without knowing, api, although, sangharam, withdrawal, prana kritra, life being put into danger, upasthite, being placed in such a position. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The subtle forms of material activities are finer than grosser methods of material manipulation. Such subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification of sound. The same method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as nuclear weapons. Athopaspriśya shalilaṁ sandadhe tat samāhitaha ajānan nopi saṅhāraṁ prāna kṛchra. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. So, in the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out how material energy can be manipulated by two different means. One is by gross manipulation, and the other one is the subtle manipulation. The gross manipulation takes place on the gross platform, but the subtle manipulation takes place by chanting the hymns, chanting mantras. Actually, subtle being finer than and superior to gross automatically includes whatever is there on the gross plane. And Vedic culture actually deals with the subtle material nature. And thus they control the gross nature through the subtle. We can see that in a materialistic society, in a gross materialistic society, people want money. Now, if one has money, then with money, in exchange of money, he can get anything he wants. And money is so desirable because money is the medium for exchange. Like if one has money, he can get anything he wants. But during the Vedic time, in the Vedic culture, people were not so much interested, especially intelligent class of people, were not so much interested in gross form of wealth, money. They were more interested in punya or piety. And piety is actually subtle wealth. Just as in exchange of money, one can get whatever he desires, on the subtle plane, if one has punya, if one has piety, then he can, in exchange of his piety, he can get whatever he wanted. People would sacrifice money. People would sacrifice all kinds of material comforts. People would sacrifice their material possessions in order to acquire punya. Because they knew that if they had punya, then in exchange of punya, they can get anything. And punya or piety is actually the superior form of wealth. Money cannot buy everything. Money cannot elevate us to the higher planetary systems where form of enjoyment or forms of enjoyments are much superior, much more exciting. With money, one can, with the gross money, with the gross medium of exchange, one can only have things from the gross material platform. But in order to become elevated to higher planets, where the enjoyments are much superior than the enjoyments in the material platform, one could be elevated to that plane, one could be elevated to the higher plane or higher planetary systems only by means of pious activities, not by anything else. With money one may be able to buy a ticket to a far off land in this planet, but with money one cannot go to the higher planetary systems like Bhuvar Loka, Swar Loka, what to speak of Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka and Satya Loka. And higher we go, the form of enjoyment is greater. So, that was the Vedic principles. Like in the Vedic society, in the Vedic culture, they did not deal so much with the gross material nature. They did not get so much entangled in the gross activities. And even this, the affairs of this material nature, even the affairs of this gross material nature, namely the earth planet, things were manipulated through subtle energy, subtle arrangements, that is, chanting of mantras. We know of five elements, ether is the most subtle. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And sound comes from ether, or sound is the energy that becomes manifested in the plane of ether. There are five elements, and due to the interaction between our senses and those elements, five objects of the senses are produced. Ether, the interaction between ether and our ears produces sound. Interaction between air and skin produces touch. Interaction between fire and eyes produces form. Interaction between tongue and water produces taste. And interaction between earth and nose produces smell. So these, in this way, due to the interaction between the five elements and the five senses, five objects of the senses are produced. Now, of these five objects of the senses, the subtlest is the sound, which is produced from ether. Or, out of the five elements, ether is the subtlest, and sound is produced from there. So, if we consider the geography of this material nature, then sound is the most subtle energy, because it is coming from ether, ethereal plane, which is the outermost layer of the gross material manifestation. Therefore, in the beginning, there was sound. Everything came from sound. Then gradually the transformation took place. The mantras were chanted and things became manifested. In the beginning, everything was unmanifested. The material nature goes through two specific existence. One is the manifested and the other is unmanifested. Now the world, now the material nature is in a manifested stage. But a time will come at the end of the day of Brahma, this universe will dissolve. This universe will become unmanifest. Just as a man, he gets his body, and then when he dies, then the body dissolves. The body is either burnt to ashes or buried in the earth. And then the body, which is made of five elements, dissolves into those five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. With these elements, the body is made, and all those elements will dissolve in the nature. So in a individual scale, we see that how a living entity becomes manifested and becomes unmanifested. He is born, that is the beginning of his manifestation, and then he dies. That is the beginning of his unmanifested state. In this way, the material nature goes through these phases of manifestation and unmanifestation, vyakta and avyakta. The universes dissolve at the end of Brahma's life. Each universe will dissolve at the end of Brahma's life. And the entire material creation will dissolve or become unmanifest when Krishna will withdraw his glance from Maya. Now this material nature is manifest because Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is glancing at Maya. But as soon as Mahavishnu withdraws his glance, then the material nature will become unmanifested. And how does it happen? It happens because the living entities are hurled into the womb of Maya by the glance of Mahavishnu. As Mahavishnu glances, the living entities, the conditioned souls, or those who actually wanted to enjoy outside of Krishna, without Krishna, those living entities are injected in the womb of the material nature. And it's the living entities who manifest this material nature. This material nature is manifest now because the living entities are here. Living entities are here, and these living entities are agitating this material nature. For example, if we leave individually, if we leave this room now, will this room exist? No. To us it won't exist. In our mind, in a memory it may exist, but similarly, when we die, then to us this material nature disappears individually. When all the living entities are taken out of this material nature, then the material nature becomes unmanifest. Krishna explains that point very aptly, in a very succinctly, in Bhagavad Gita. He says this is material, that this material nature is composed of 8 elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Bhumi rapu anolo bayu, khaṁ mano buddhi revacha, ahankara ityaṁ me bhinna prakriti rashtadha. That this material nature is composed of these 8 elements, and those 8 elements are Krishna's separated energy, bhinna prakriti, ashtadha. 8. But then Krishna says, Aparayam itastannam prakritiṁ viddhi me param. That beyond this inferior material nature, I have a superior nature. Prakritiṁ viddhi me param. I have a superior nature. And jiva bhūtāṁ mahābāho jajidāṁ dhārjate jagat. And the living entities who are sustaining this material nature are coming from that superior nature of mind. So beyond this inferior material nature, Krishna has a superior spiritual nature, and the living entities are coming from that superior spiritual nature, and they are sustaining this material nature. So when these living entities are in the material nature, then the material nature is manifest. When the living entities are withdrawn from this material nature, the material nature becomes unmanifest. And then the gross manifestation actually takes place gradually through sound. And that sound is mantra, the transcendental sound vibration. Now just as through the sound, it is through the sound that this material nature became manifest, similarly, the way out of this material nature also is through the sound. And those sounds, actually all are mantras. All are considered to be Vedic hymns or mantras. The cause of the manifestation of material nature is also the cause of the liberation from material nature. In the beginning, the sound that was Om. And from Om, actually, this material nature became manifest. Now, that was the cause of our bondage, in a way. The creation of this material nature was the cause of our bondage. Similarly, the freedom from this bondage also is that Om. And that Om has been further modified, further expanded. Actually, the Om further expanded into the Vedas. entire Vedas are actually the manifestation of the sound vibration Om, which is called pranob, the original sound vibration. And from pranob appeared Gayatri. The expansion of pranob is Gayatri. Expansion of Gayatri is Vedas. Just as mother gives birth to her child, Gayatri gave birth to the Vedas. Vedomata Gayatri. And then the entire Vedas again converged into Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Therefore, there is no difference between Hare Krishna Mahamantra and pranab, Omkar. It's the same. The only thing is that Om is the beginning of the transcendental sound, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the end of the transcendental sound. Now on the transcendental platform, the beginning and the end is the same. Both are indicating Krishna. Both are actually indicating Radha Krishna, not only Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Energetic, and the sum total of His energy. Therefore, one can be delivered either by chanting Om, Omkar, like Gayatri is beginning with Om, or by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The easier way is to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because in order to chant Gayatri, there are lots of restrictions. One has to become situated in a perfect Brahminical platform. And one must follow the principles of the Vedic scriptures to the point. Otherwise, one cannot attain perfection of chanting Gayatri. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra, anyone can chant in any condition, and he will be delivered. So although here we can see how Ashwatthama was using that sound vibration for destruction, but a devotee can use the transcendental sound vibration for constructive way. Like on the material plane also, good people use the Vedic mantras for constructive purpose. The people who heal people by chanting mantra. In the Vedic time, people used to cure diseases by chanting mantra. Even today that is quite prevalent in India, in some corners of India. Somebody would just chant mantra and, well, in Mayapur it's a very common phenomena that when people get bitten by snake, there is, by Krishna's mercy, just next to our temple, there is a snake doctor. And he chants mantra and cures snake bite. By chanting mantra, he brings the poison down, and then he makes a hole or punctures the skin with a pin, and poison comes out. I have seen with my own eyes. So many devotees got bitten even by cobras, but this man, just by chanting mantra, he cured. Diseases like jaundice is cured by chanting mantra. I myself had the experience. Doctors couldn't do anything. It was pretty bad. And then one lady who runs a small little pawn shop. Pawn shop means betel nut and sells all kinds of tidbits. and very ordinary looking woman. And just by chanting mantra, she cured it. In Vrindavan also there is one man who cures jaundice by many of our devotees got cured like that. It's incredible. But it's not impossible, it may be incredible. Because it's, and it's scientifically understandable that sound is subtle, more subtle than other gross. Actually, sound is also a gross material manifestation. But the sound, of all gross material manifestations, sound is the subtlest. And anything that is superior can take care of the inferior. Now, the things that are happening on the grosser bodily plane can be taken care of by the finer elements or finer manifestations of material energy. And we have to understand that these sound vibrations are not just ordinary sound vibrations. These are actually the Vedic or transcendental sound vibrations. Any sound is not mantra. The sound that came from the spiritual sky, they are mantras. And they have been recorded in the Vedas. And Vedas have two aspects actually. The Vedas has the material aspect and the Vedas a spiritual aspect. One aspect of the Veda is dealing with how to control this material nature. Prabhupada gave the example is the manual, operation manual of the material nature. Like when some machine, actually in one sense this material, this universe is a machine. And when a machine is produced, when a machine is manufactured, then along with the machine comes an operation manual. That indicates how the machine should be used. So this machine called universe has an operation manual and is meant for intelligent class of people to use the manual to run this machine or take advantage of this machine. And of all living entities, the human beings are most intelligent. And the human beings, the Vedas actually been meant for the human beings to be utilized, to use this universe for their ultimate objective, that is to become free from this material bondage. But one may not realize that. Therefore, the arrangements have been made that, okay, fine, in the beginning you may want to enjoy, but enjoy according to the Vedic injunctions. And Vedas are giving us directions how to enjoy. And the way one can enjoy according to the Vedic injunctions is even, it's practically inconceivable for materialistic people. It's impossible for them. Like, following the Vedic injunctions, one can not only go to the higher planetary systems and enjoy, but one can even create create a world for himself. Like we saw, Kardama Muni, he created a world himself, a planet for himself and his wife. And that planet was not just a planet, it was filled with living entities, servants, maidservants, and all kinds of palaces, all kinds of facilities. We can't even imagine that kind of things. Nowadays, if we see a big house or a big palace, we wonder, such a grand arrangement for material enjoyment. But considering that kind of arrangement, these are just rather insignificant arrangements. Like we may be surprised or we may be awestruck seeing the Buckingham Palace. But compared to Kardama Muni's space, the floating planet, this is an anthill. So this is how the Vedas are actually providing us with the facilities to even enjoy this material nature. Dharma, artha, kama. Dharma means pious activities. And these pious activities lead to artha, material opulence. Dharma means acting according to the Vedic injunction. Artha means piety. Artha means wealth. But this wealth is actually subtle wealth, piety. And calm, due to that one can fulfill his desire. As I was saying, like with, for example, with money, one can build something like Buckingham Palace. But with piety, one can build a traveling planet for his own enjoyment. That's the difference between subtle and gross. And then calm and moksha, ultimately one wants to become liberated from this material bondage. And the liberation is also has been directed in the Vedas. How to become? Now you wanted to enjoy. Now these are the arrangements, these are the means, these are the ways how you can enjoy. And after enjoying, when you realize that after all there is no enjoyment in the material nature, and that is the purpose of arranging or allowing to enjoy in this material nature. Ultimately one realizes that there is no enjoyment in this material nature. Whether we are living in a hut or whether we are living in a planet created by our mystic power. So everyone is suffering in this material nature. Starting from a pauper in the street up to the Queen of England, everyone is suffering. I mean, although the Queen of England is such a considered to be such an elevated personality, she suffers. And now that she's getting old, I'm sure she's suffering terribly. So this is what the material nature is like. And no one can enjoy in this nature. So when one realizes that there is no enjoyment in this material nature, so what does he want to do? He wants to get out of here. And that is moksha, liberation. But liberation means the positive liberation. If we want to run out of the prison, if we want to get out of the prison, we can get out of the prison in two ways. We can either dig a tunnel or scale the wall and run away. But that's not actually becoming free from the bondage of the prison. We may get out of the prison, but the police will be after us. And we have to hide. And we have to be in constant anxiety all the time. And when the police catches us, then we are put back into the prison again. But this time, the prison sentence is even more severe. Because it's a crime to run away from the prison. That's a negative way of getting out of the prison. But there's a positive way of getting out of the prison also. And the positive way is to recognize our mistake. Realize what was the cause of our imprisonment and rectify that cause. And the cause of our imprisonment is that we disregarded the law of the king. Now if we realize that this was the cause of our imprisonment and then we decide to abide by the laws of the king, become submissive to the king, then it becomes very easy to get out of the prison. And that is a positive way of getting out. Similarly, to get out of this prison of material nature, there are two ways. One is called Shajujya Mukti, trying to actually run out of this prison, trying to escape from the prison. But the other one is to recognize the cause of our imprisonment, cause of the crime that put us into prison. Now what's the crime? The crime is we disregarded the law of Krishna. And we decide to abide by the laws of Krishna. We appeal to Krishna. Krishna, we made a mistake and I am taking a vow that I'll not make this mistake again. Then Krishna makes arrangements to take us out of this material nature. So there is one way. Sorry. There's one way to get out. There's a positive way and a negative way of getting out of this material nature. An intelligent person will not try to get out of this material nature by the negative means. He will simply accept the positive means. And the most wonderful positive means is to become surrendered to Krishna. Although you do not remember what was our crime, the details of our crime, but it doesn't matter. The cause of our crime is that we have disregarded Krishna. So now let us be submissive to Krishna. And that is the prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, I am suffering in this material nature. Please deliver me from this miserable material existence and engage me in your devotional service. So in this way, one can very easily become free from this material bondage by taking advantage of the subtle sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration of the Vedas. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes, go in the prayer. Well, that spiritual concept that Krishna is the cause of everything, when comes, or you can say in simple words, when Krishna's energy comes into the ethereal plane, then that energy is transformed into sound, and that sound is Om. It's just Krishna's energy, the first manifestation of Krishna's energy in sound or in the ethereal plane is Om. Therefore, when we delve into Om, when we go through Om, then gradually we get to know Krishna's energy. And thus we can get to know Krishna. Puna Chandra Prabhu. Prakriti is there. Prakriti is eternal, right? And when Krishna's glance is casted upon, Mahavishnu casts his glance upon Maya, then the Maya gets agitated, right? And the first manifestation of the agitation is Pradhan. Pradhan. And then Mahatattva. Gradually, actually there is very subtle difference between Pradhan and Mahatattva. It's only when you look at it from that perspective, it is Pradhan. And when you look at it from this perspective, it's Mahatattva. see, Om is the pranam, Omkar. Tat is that. So here that is indicating Krishna. The Om, you know, when we say Om and then say that Om is, that here is Tat, is here Krishna. And Sat is spiritual. So the ultimate understanding is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual and He is the center of the entire spiritual reality. Therefore, and that's why, as you said, like all the discrepancies are covered. Because if we, you know, whatever discrepancies there may be, but just with the understanding that everything is done for Krishna and Krishna is spiritual, Krishna is the center of the spiritual reality, then everything is actually taken care of. Beg your pardon? Yeah. Also means, yeah. I have to see it. Does anybody have a Bhagavad Gita here? Or maybe you can... Can you give me that Bhagavad Gita? Thank you. Yeah, so the mantra is Om Tat Sadeti Nirdoshe Brahmana Stri Bidha Smitaha Brahmanastena Vedascha Jagyascha Vihita Pura. So the translation is, from the beginning of creation, the three syllables Om Tat Sat have been used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahma. They were uttered by Brahmanas while chanting Vedic hymns and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Yeah. And Prabhupada is translating here, Om, indication of the Supreme, Tat, that, Sat, eternal. That Supreme is eternal. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual. So, okay, now let me read that. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. He will get some temporary result, but not the ultimate end of life. The conclusion is that the performance of charity, sacrifice, and penance must be done in the mode of goodness. Performed in the modes of passion and ignorance, they are certainly inferior in quality. The three words Om Tat Sat are uttered in conjunction with the holy name of the Supreme Lord, that is Om Tat Vishnu. Whenever a Vedic hymn or the holy name of the Supreme Lord is uttered, Om is added. This is the indication of the Vedic literature. Tetad Brahmana Nedishtang Nama indicates the first goal. That then, oh, I see, you mean that it hasn't been translated, that verse. Okay. Om iti etat brahmana nedishtam namo. That this Om, that is indicating Brahma, is the name of the Lord. That is the first goal. That Om means the name of the Lord. Then Tattvamasi indicates the second goal. Tat, Tam, Ashi. That you are that. You are spiritual. And Sad, Eva, Somma indicates the third goal. Sad, Eva, Somma. Somma means my dear or O gentle one. He is Sat. He is eternal. Or he is spiritual. Right. Right. In the Upanishad. Upanishads are always, you know, the instructions to the disciples. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. Formerly, when Brahma, the first created living entity, performed sacrifices, he spoke these three names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same principle holds by disciplic succession. So this hymn has great significance. Bhagavad Gita recommends, therefore, that any work done should be done for Om Tat Sat or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes. Not really. I'll just present a logic to point out that what you say, I mean, that statement doesn't hold. Say, for example, electricity is turning the fan to move. But that doesn't mean that electricity is fan. Electricity is what is causing the fan to move. The cause is obviously is not the transformed effect. The transcendental sound vibration is the cause, and the material nature is the effect. Yes. 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 Right. No, true. But his point was that since Om is transforming the material nature, then is Om material sound vibration? No. Om is spiritual, but Om's effect is taking place on the material plane. But that doesn't mean that Om is material. Is that clear? Yeah. You see, that was the first sound, and from that everything has become manifested. Then you see, like the gradual transformation took place through the sound. Or rather, as the transformation took place, like from sound came the name, from name came the form. Like every form has a name, because every form has a conscious concept, and that concept is the name. Yes, you have a question?
Even if one is in a different form, one is in a different form.
Okay, it's like this. You see, Gayatri Mantra is the Vedic process of liberation. And the Vedic process means, you know, going through the normal channel. It's a very arduous and very difficult process. But Maha Mantra is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? So the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so magnanimous that even though we may not be qualified, but if we just chant the name offenselessly, then we'll become, we'll develop love of Godhead. Now, if one chants Gayatri Mantra offenselessly, then he won't derive that perfect benefit unless he goes through, you know, like all the Brahminical processes that have been prescribed in the Vedas. Whereas by just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, without offenses, one can become free from material bondage. Initiation as a contract. Initiation as a contract between spiritual master and disciple really takes place through the Gayatri. Whereas Harinam was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the guru of Harinam is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, the present guru gives the name on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the real Vedic initiation takes place through Gayatri Mantra. That is the especially in Gaudiya Math, Harinam is not considered to be a diksha in that sense. When they say diksha, they mean Gayatri, Brahmin diksha. Although Harinam also is diksha, accepting initiation, but it is not the true Vedic diksha that we are familiar with. Yeah. No, I mentioned that Harinam also is diksha, but that is that is not exactly the diksha that has been mentioned in the Vedas. This is a special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That this mantra has been given. Yes. Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they try to break the, scale the wall or dig a tunnel and somehow or other get out of this material nature. First of all, the process is very arduous. No, they can't. As I said, the police will catch them and then put them back into the prison and their sentence will be much more severe. So Mayavadi Arujya Krichena Parang Padang Tato Patanti Adha Anadrita Jushmadang. Through their great austerities and penances, they get elevated. They come almost close to the spiritual world. But then they fall down from there. And when they fall down, their bones are broken into pieces. And their consciousness is devastated. Like, they become unconscious, actually. These Mayavadis, ultimately, they don't get liberated. They become stones. At the most, they become a diamond. And give out a little light and think, Aham Brahmasmi. I have become Brahma. Yes. You see, in the Vedic time, people were considerably pure. So when, those people chanted, I won't say pure, but I would say powerful. And when they would chant the Gayatri, they will derive a great strength out of that. But if they were not properly directed by a bona fide spiritual master, they would rather misuse that energy. Therefore, there was such strict injunction that no one should chant unless he becomes initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. For how long should I go on? Okay, I'll take last three questions, four questions. Okay, last five questions. Purnachandra Prabhu, Gauranga Premananda, Gaurkishore Prabhu. 3, 4, 5, and Mataji 6. Okay. No, I don't quite remember that pastime. Damodar? Oh no, I'm sorry, Gauranga Premananda? Yeah, the question is, I don't quite understand the relation between Om creating everything and Mahavishnu creating everything. Om is Mahavishnu's energy. Right? Now, Mahavishnu does not create anything with his hands. He has a very strange way of creating. He just glances and everything becomes manifest. So that energy of Mahavishnu that creates this material nature is Om. So that is the relationship. You can say that the Mahavishnu is the energetic and the transcendental sound, Om, is the energy. Non-different at the same time different. Achinta, bhed abhed. Energy and energetic are same, but at the same time they're different. His glance is the energy. Actually, you see, his glance is not like our glance. Angani jasya shakolendriya vritti mantra. Like he can perform all different activities through his different senses.
I've actually heard that some people have heard
Well, I can tell you the GBC policy about that. The GBC never asked them not to chant. And then the question, if the question arises, then who is the guru of that Gayatri? So now that, you know, it's an unusual situation, those candidates can accept Prabhupada as their guru. Until they develop enough faith that they would feel like on some senior devotee who they would like to surrender again. And then they can accept him. But they can continue chanting. Even the scientists found out that the soil in Kurukshetra is diffused, is fused through that can happen only through nuclear fusion. Gaurhari? Prabhupada said, don't add anything to Hare Krishna Mahamantra and don't subtract anything from Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be chanted just as it is. Actually, in 77, Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela and we are having an ecstatic Guru Puja Kirtan. And the person who was leading all of a sudden started chanting, Bhaja Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He said, where did you learn this Bhaja Hare Krishna? And he just kept on screaming. Where did you learn it from me? Bhaja Hare Krishna. And then he said that nothing should be added to Hare Krishna Mahamantra and subtracted from Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yes, Mataji. Well, you see, our senses perceive, right? we perceive through our senses. Those sense perceptions are stored in our memory. And when those images come to the forefront of our consciousness, that is arranged by mind, and that is called thinking. And the rational organization of those impressions are done by intelligence. So more intelligent a person is, better he'll be able to correlate between the stored informations in his memory. Okay, I'll stop the class. Is it? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Because the thinking takes place with meaning. Like, say, we can say the sound, but always we may not, you know, mean. We may not understand the meaning. But when you're thinking, then the meaning is there in your thoughts. If it is rational sound, if it's the real sound, it can. Like as Purnachandra Prabhu was telling, like sound is an energy, like the opera singers. He was saying that sometimes the opera singers would, you know, sing such high note that it would crack the glass. And what to speak of opera singers, you know, singing and cracking the glasses. In India, the musicians would sing different ragas and bring different changes. Like there is a raga called Meghamallar. And a perfect musician can sing it and make the cloud appear in the sky and shower rain. They can do, I mean, there are things like that. Anyway, so sound, it's from this we can see how powerful sound is. But not that any sound is that powerful, right? There should, in the atmosphere, there is static electricity, right? But that electricity cannot be used. Only through some specific process, the electricity can be made into dynamic. Although there is static electricity in the atmosphere, but you can't use it to light the bulbs. It needs certain process, and one has to know the art of converting static electricity into kinetic electricity. Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.